You are listening to Legacy Moments, where we have authentic conversations about life, business, and so much more. I am your host, Dr. Patrice Berry, licensed psychologist, and I am joined by my co-host and mom, Johnny Lloyd. Together, we bring my years of clinical experience and her years of business and leadership experience to add value to your day. Really excited to hop into part two, Let's Talk Relationships. And today we're going to be diving into red flags and questions to ask within a relationship. So please know, with these conversations, these are off the top of our head. We prepare individually, but we don't come together. So as soon as we hit record, there is no telling what is going to happen. So please stay on your seats, because you don't know what's going to come. We don't know what's going to come. So where did you want to start for today?
And the reason we do that is because once we have discussed the subject, it's like we go deep and then it's like, what did you say? What was that? That was a good point. We don't do that. So that's why we want to be fresh and authentic with you where we have not practiced it. So it's really important for us to do that, right? So what I would like to start off is, let's talk about being single. What does singleness really mean? And we talked about self-awareness last time, but we really didn't get into how that connects to being single. So I'm going to talk about that for just a moment, and then that's going to be a launching pad, right? So being single, number one, most people don't want to be called single. They don't want to say, you know, it's just like it's a negative connotation that leads to people saying, well, I'm single. They say, well, I'm dating. They put all this other stuff, or I'm intentionally not doing something. Like being single is some kind of mark that has negativity connected to it. So what, that is the first thing. Let's be aware of that. Number two is, that is other people's opinion of your current state. Don't move, or be careful about moving to being in a relationship just so you won't say I'm single. Because single, sometimes people think of that, well, that means nobody wants me. That means that I'm not whatever. It's a negative connotation, right? It's not. You can decide to be single for this moment. But let's say what I believe single is. Singleness, when I look at it, I look at a whole person, someone who is learning to be whole and complete on their own. I get a chance to spend time with me. Have you run into people who don't like silence, who don't like to be by themselves, who don't like to think inside and make cause themselves to be better? Those people, there may be a disconnect in their perception of being alone or single, right? However, I really like me. And when I say that, I'm not saying you don't. I'm saying that I like being by myself sometimes, because I need to check myself. I need to get some quality time with me to know what I'm thinking, that kind of thing.
But I think within healthy relationships, the self, yourself stays there. And within a partnership, you come together and hopefully you both make each other a little bit better, but you are still you and they are still them. And together, hopefully y'all work together and it's something better, because I can do bad all by myself.
And I can do good by myself.
Exactly. And the goal is that within that partnership, that it is something better. And Amanda with Carve Your Own Path, she mentioned something, because we stream live on TikTok, that it's not a hierarchy. It's not like marriage is up here and then fiance dating. There isn't this hierarchy, that really there are benefits to both states. And I don't think people talk enough about that. And that's not really the point of today, because really we want to give some practical tips for people that are looking to be in relationship. But I think having that good, solid foundation, that there's nothing wrong with being single. Right. So you can be okay, because really I talk with a lot of people that desire to be coupled, and I tell them, you could be with someone.
Now, you know that's the truth.
You could be with anyone if you, because there are people that are interested and you could, but you have standards and there's nothing wrong with that. And it's like, hey, if I'm going to be with someone, I would like for them to be emotionally intelligent. I would like for them to respect me. I want there to be trust within this relationship. There's nothing wrong with having those standards and holding those. But I think that often there is this kind of hierarchy. And then also, I think sometimes people want, they think, oh, I can't succeed at my job until I'm job. This. Right. Or I can't do these things, that singleness is somehow holding them back from whatever they want in life. When really, oh my gosh, I traveled so much more when I was single. So I am married. I have been married for almost since 2013. So through the years. And really, I did a lot before, and we sometimes joke because I have this joke. My house would look totally different if I was single because I really am in a partnership and we talk and we discuss, and he doesn't do something in the house that I'm not okay with. I don't do something in the house that he's not okay with. Like we come together on those things. But being able to be by yourself, you don't have to check in with anyone. You do you. You take care of you. Now, there are some benefits to partnership because I've been very honest about the fact that launching my business, the reason why I was able to walk away from a salaried, you know, very stable, cushy job was because I have a husband that has good health insurance and that had a steady, consistent income while I was launching from that place. And so there are definitely benefits to being in a relationship, but there are a lot of benefits to singleness as well.
And my point of even starting off with singleness is this, is that the best relationship you can be in, first of all, is a relationship with you. Because when I'm in a great relationship with me, I know what I'm willing to do. I'm not waiting on somebody to take me to a trip and do whatever. I have done that. I don't walk into the relationship and start listing the things that I didn't think I could do because I was single at that time. Now I want to travel, you know, whatever the list is. It puts a lot of pressure on the relationship. So the first thing I would say is be good to you. Know who you are. Now there is a fallacy. I'm just a little bit older than Patrice. No, a little bit older than Patrice. A lot. But anyway, but this is the fallacy that I grew up with. And maybe you've heard it. You said they say that it's being married is two people coming together and becoming one, as if each person, or you want a 50-50 relationship. Have you heard those things? Well, in a partnership, it's not I come in halfway and you come in halfway. It's 100% me and 100% you. And that's the thing. A lot of people are great at dating. They are great at those things, but they're not great in a full-time committed relationship. Does that make sense? So the other thing is that what you see, okay, the what you see in dating could be a person's representative and not them. So that's a red flag. If a person, when they drive, and I'm just going to give a couple examples, if they're driving and every car they get in front of them, they scream and holler and rah, 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 flag, flag, flag. If they treat the waitress really, male or female, if they treat them really bad, flag, flag, flag. If they only open the door for you and the person right behind you, they shut the door in their face, flag. However, guys, on the other side, when you open the door for her and you let two or three other people in and she stands there and she's all upset about it, flag, flag, flag. If when you talk to the waitress nicely or him or her, and or you say anything or you, and they look at you and they're all upset, that's a flag. So yes, let's use the example. For me, in a partnership, think of your key rings. Think of your key ring. On my key ring, there's a lot of keys. Each key has a purpose. Each key has a purpose. Most people don't take a lot of duplicates of the same key with them on their key ring. each key is an individual. It has a purpose. But when you bring them together, I can maybe get, you can get, let's say if your door has two locks. So the top lock has a purpose and the bottom lock has a purpose, and you have to unlock both of them to get into your door, right? So my point for saying that is this, is know your purpose, know who you are. So when you come to a relationship, you're not coming in starving.
Or compromising yourself, or trying to become who that person wants.
Yeah.
Those are all red flags. So if somebody meets you and they're immediately trying to change you. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a difference between, so for me, my husband, he eats organic. Like when I met him, I ate really crappy. I went to crappy restaurants. I was a starving graduate student, not starving, but like I was very, very frugal and I liked to splurge on other things, but I didn't like to spend a whole bunch of money on food. He invested in his food, and meeting him, I was able to be like with an organic apple versus a regular apple, that organic apple actually tastes like an apple. And I was like, oh, like that extra money actually is worth it. And so it's not that he changed me. It's that, oh, I've learned something new and picked up something. It's like, oh, I think I want to do this. And that was something that I was, and it added value. I think that's where you're going.
That's where I was going. Added value.
And being able to add value to one another, I think that's really important. And looking at how the person handles conflict.
Mm.
I think a lot of times people look at conflict as something bad, and they say, so I used to do marriage therapy and premarital therapy, and people would come and be like, we have never had an argument. And I'm thinking, that's not good. Like conflict, now it's good. Yeah, we've never yelled and screamed at each other. We've never thrown things at each other. We've never been aggressive with one another. That's a low bar. Like that's good. But to say that we've never had a disagreement, we are always exactly on the same page. Well, at some point you're not going to be, and you don't know how that person reacts or responds in a crisis. And I also want to give a special note to be careful meeting someone when you are in crisis or just recently came out of a crisis. Because there is something called a trauma bond, where sometimes we can fuse, we can come together in our pain. But then as one or both of us start to get better, sometimes that kind of breaks that initial bond and we really aren't particularly healthy for one another. And so I really do think that coming into relationship, not that everything in your life. So when I started dating, everything in my life was not healed, I needed to go to therapy. I needed to do my own work. But because within relationship, so I was fine single because relationships bring things out where it's like, oh, wait a minute, that's an issue.
But you don't know.
I didn't know by myself. Right. But when I was you, it's like, wait a minute, what that is triggering something from my past. And it's not about you. So this is about them. This is not about you. So I need to go and talk to a professional to work on that.
And when a person finds out that they're being triggered about something, right, and they will not go and get help, that's a sign. And I'm not saying it's you stay in, get out. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's a sign. It's like when you buy a new item and you don't read the small print.
Like dry clean only or something like that?
Yeah, dry clean only. And then you wash it and you wonder why it's not reacting the way you thought.
It shrinks.
It shrinks completely up, and then you say it's the garment. Nope. It had a tag in it. It was telling you already what to do. Even when you felt it, you said, this feels a little different. Your inner working said, it feels a little different. So you always read the tag. You need to know.
I love that, to trust your intuition.
Oh, yeah.
Trust yourself. Because sometimes you're kind of getting a feeling like something, I don't know exactly what it is. I can't put my finger on it. And I believe in Googling people. If you are dating someone, if you meet someone, especially you meet people online, get their first and last name and their city and put that in Google and see what pops up. Because one time I did that, I put it in Google and some serious stuff. Someone had some past charges. They weren't found guilty, but like those charges were significant enough for me to be like, I don't think I want to be partnered with you. And this was even like a thing that came up with you that was in the news and was pretty major.
And then let's jump into dating apps. Just for a minute. We may have to do this on a full episode. But this is the deal. Just because you have categories that you are like in, and they said, oh, y'all match here. Do you know that you fill out that document?
And the person can lie.
And the person can lie, lie. Or a person can pre-think what the answer should be. And so they put the answer that they think a person would expect. However, the key is in the product showing up. When the product shows up, then you have to listen, which is critical. You have to use your intuition. And see, some people will use the intuition and say, I don't know, I'm feeling a kind of way. Everybody in their life is saying, something's up. And you say, well, no, I'm going to keep on moving forward.
That is really good, because I do think that once you start to get more serious with someone, you should bring them around your family and go be around theirs. You should go be around their friends, because their friends will tell you if they're acting brand new, if they are faking it, they're like, what? You always drink 5-6 drinks. Like, what? Oh, because she's here. Because he's here.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, so being around them with their friends, them coming around your friends, because people, not that you will take that as like a fact. So like if somebody was like, oh, is this? But I think it helps you connect with you to say, is this something that I would be okay? Because my thing is, the things I know before commitment, I can't complain about within commitment. And what I mean by that is, so before I married my husband, so COVID, you know, people wipe down their groceries and all that good stuff. My husband's been wiping down his groceries since the day I met him, because wiping down your groceries, it helps your refrigerator stay clean. I don't know. Like he's been doing it forever. He's always kept hand sanitizer inside of his car. But like, so now within marriage, I can't get mad because he has hand sanitizer in his car. He's always been that way. I knew that before I married him, and that was something that never, ever changed. And so within this relationship, what if they never change? Can you do this forever?
Right. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, you're not their savior. You're not there to save them, right? And sometimes, ladies, can I talk to you for a minute?
Try to. Only man you can change is in diapers. Only woman you can change is in diapers. I don't know.
Everybody else? They have to change from within. They have the desire to change.
From themselves.
From themselves, not to get you. Can we talk?
Because those are not permanent changes.
Those are not. Those are, you're meeting their representative. And when their representative is gone, because their representative is not going to be there every day. So be careful. But what I'm saying is this. A lot of times we want to take on a project. If you know you're the type of person.
Pick up a craft. redo your house, volunteer at the YMCA, a project. We're talking about partnership. We're not talking about a project.
But a lot of people want to.
It's true.
A lot of, you know women. Come on. Now you know you out there. And men too. Like, you know, he's never been loved like I love him. Or she's never known the life I can bring to her.
That's real, like, savor. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, that can set up a really unhealthy dynamic.
It is unhealthy. It's not setting up no unhealthy. It is unhealthy.
I try to be nice.
Because then what happens is you become frustrated, and then you're wondering why it's not working.
I've seen this happen where the relationship ends, and the one person who was the fixer, now all of a sudden that person defaults back to their factory settings.
Stop. Okay, you got to go back. You got to go into there. You got to go in there.
So the person, when the relationship ends, let's say because I'm with you, I'm sober. Because I'm with you, I'm going to work every day. And I'm really, but you are the one who's like waking me up with you know, you're helping me with my homework. Like you are doing everything and I'm just kind of showing up. If that relationship ends, I'm going back to how I originally was, because those changes. So change has to be motivated from within. The changes I make for other people, those are not long lasting. They are only temporary. Even if the relationship is 4 or 5 years, once that ends, the person is going to go back to whatever they were originally doing. And I also think it sets up a dynamic of like, you're their parent and not their partner.
And nobody, I'm sorry.
I don't.
Can we just, I mean, let's have a, I'm going to be the one that brings it up. So ladies, I know you don't really want him to think of
or
you
them.
As, or them, as your mother. As their mother. I mean, not your mother, but their mother. Because that's a little interesting if you're talking about having an intimate, and we know what we're talking about, intimate relationship, right? Intimate kind of thing, relationship. So that's not healthy. So when he projects you and he says, you know, you remind me so much of my mother, you know, and then you start taking care of him and you start, don't you hear the siren going off? The alarm system in your home is going off.
And from the psychology side, sometimes people can recreate the things I haven't worked through. Mm. We can kind of accidentally end up with people that are a lot like, if I haven't really acknowledged, if I haven't really dealt with that original stuff, and it won't be exact. So if I have a parent that was addicted to this person, it might be a little bit different, but the similarities, the patterns are kind of the same. Or, you know, I always had to work for a lot of attention and affection. And now I'm with somebody where I'm still having to work for the attention and the affection. And so I think sometimes we can recreate some of those right. problematic patterns.
Right. But the question is, do you want to work for all the attention and affection? Or do you want somebody to give it to you willingly without you working for it? And if that's what you find out you want, if you know what your, I'm gonna call it love language, there's a great book that Gary Chapman wrote. It's called The 5 Love Languages. Now, this is not to mark or check you off and say, well, you know, this is my love language and whatever. It's to give you insight. Because you could be in a relationship where the person's love language is giving gifts. Your love language may be quality time. And so they keep on giving you gifts and working 90 hours, you know, a day. I know there's not 90 hours in a day, but you get my point. Working all the time and they think they're showing you love, but that's not the way you love. So knowing, what am I going back to? You got to know you. What makes you tick? What makes your heart happy? And all of those things are important. So then let's talk about just another step of, you know, this person, he takes you out to dinner all the time and you know, you show up a certain way. Well, you don't wake up that way. I told somebody that one day, I said, you know, I mean, I'm pretty natural, but I said, you know, I was wearing more makeup or when I put the lashes on or whatever. You know, this is not the way I wake up, right? I'm just saying, this is not the way I wake up. And you know that you like to be in the comfortable clothes all day in the house and stuff like that. But the only way he's ever seen you is perfection. And you know he's kind of a perfectionist.
But I think so you have to give people.
You have to give people grace on that. And you have to be authentic. Let them know who you are. How you run your day and ask a question. Hey, what did you do on Saturday? If they sit around, they say nothing or hung out with the guys all day and just learn, well, what does that mean? Hanging out or whatever. Ask questions. That's not a bad thing because you hang out with the guys. And it's not a good thing because I chilled at home all day. However, you have to know you so you know that what you're willing and desire in your life.
I do think it's important that people not expect their partner to meet every aspect of them. Because typically you're not going to marry yourself. You're not going to commit to yourself. That's not going to end up with yourself. I could not be with another Patrice.
I couldn't be with another Johnny. Matter of fact, the world could not have another I'm talking about just like me. No.
So within my partnership, I am the extrovert. He is the introvert and we talk. And because if he goes to an event with me, I have to stay with him the whole time, which feels like a punishment to me, but I get it because he feels abandoned, like not abandoned, but like it's good if I stay with him. But like, I like to mingle. I like to go around.
She's and Tigger.
I really am Tigger. I really am Tigger. I have my little Tigger cup over there. And so that's where sometimes we don't always go to things together. Sometimes we, but I, because I'm not looking to him to meet all of my social needs. I have friends. I have these other areas where I'm able to get some of those social needs met.
And part of the importance of that is, notice she's saying, they get a chance to spend time together, which is healthy, yeah, and they get a chance to spend time separate, which is healthy too. So it gives her a chance to just be, you know, bounce around, enjoy whatever, and it gives him a chance for the quietness and the joy, what he loves to do. And when you come together, what happens is you get a chance to share and talk about how your day, you know, what you went through, and laugh and talk and enjoy each other. However, when I expect another person to be just like me, I usually come up short. And disappointment is this. Disappointment is the gap between what I want, and what you did, or what happened, what actually happened. That gap is disappointment. And the bigger the gap, the more disappointment.
And not that you're lowering your standards, but you're being realistic.
Please.
So I married an introvert. And if I expect him to be an extrovert, I'm going to be disappointed. And I think being able to communicate, I think that's really helpful. But I did want to go back to some other red flags about control. Within relationships, I believe in a balance of power. That's my own personal thing, because I think somebody else, if you don't have any access to any of the money. I also believe, so I never let a boyfriend borrow money, or I never paid for any bills. I never expected for them to pay any of my bills. That was my thing. That was my own personal thing. I think it can set up some of these like couple type dynamics before we're actually a couple, and or before it's more serious. Because if we're on our fourth date and you're asking me for money, that's a red flag. That's a red flag. Now, if we've been together for, you know, a while, and you know you're in a, and I offer money, then that is something, because I would probably give it before I let someone borrow it. That's just me.
Yeah.
But within relationships, somebody that tells you you can't go and be with your friends. You can only, no, you can't be around this person. You can't be around that person. Now, it's different if there are certain boundaries. So like me and my partner, just out of respect for one another, we have certain boundaries that we have set up. And not like the whole, like, you know, I don't know, not the like, you can never be around someone if I'm not there, like not anything like that, but just a, hey, because I had some male friends before we met. And when I get together with those friends, my husband's with me. It just, and their wives are with them. Like, we end up all getting together together. And so I think being able to have a balance, because there are people that use control as a way to manipulate. So anyone that says, if you leave me, I'm going to, and there are these threats. So I think within a healthy relationship, I should always have the choice to leave. I should be with you because I choose you, because I choose to be with you. Because anything else is kidnapping. Anything else is me being held without against my will. And so I think being able to say like, hey, I am choosing this person. Like, I am with them because I want to be. And then if something happens, if we have a, you know, and if I need to take space, if I need to set a boundary, I'm able to do that.
The key with what you just said is choice, decisions and choice. When dating, when looking at people to date, remember that even though they may be the star person and everybody looks like they want them, and suddenly you got this person and you feel all amazing, whether it be male or female, you know, she's the most beautiful person, whatever, you still get a chance to choose. And you, I encourage you to use that choice on a daily basis. What I love about the relationship, what even what Patrice was just addressing, is you choose every day. Do you know, by choosing in the dating process, you will choose similarly in the marriage process, if that's where it leads? Because, you know, everybody don't get, I mean, their breaths, you know, there's a lot of dynamics, okay? So choosing to be there. And this is the other thing. Know that they're not perfect and neither are you. So looking for perfection in a relationship, I mean, perfect action all the time. And when I say perfect, it's based on your opinion or what you believe should happen, is abnormal. That doesn't happen at work. It doesn't happen in any of our normal societal areas. So it's not going to happen in your marriage. However, when I go down to my list, and this is one of the things we do, I recommend, and if, you know, male or female, doesn't matter, go through and just list the things that you're interested in or you desire in a relationship, in a significant other. Just list them. Then go through the list and say, what's non-negotiable? There are some things that's non-negotiable. It's just some things that's non-negotiable. Know what those things are. Now, it can't be the whole list. Should not be the whole list. And then look at them from your perspective. If you're looking for someone that's a certain whatever style, rate, income, whatever, how do you marry up to that? Are you looking, and that will help in the relationship. Because if I'm asking somebody to do something I'm not willing to do, is it a non-negotiable? And if so, what is that based on? So that was some of the things that are flags. And then when you end up in a relationship or perceived relationship or you're dating or talking or whatever, you know, then when one of the non-negotiables flags up, remember you said it was non-negotiable. So when it comes up, it's okay. They may go to the friend space, but if by chance you decide I'm just in it to win it, and it's, I know I said it was non-negotiable, but I'm going to be okay because I'm going to, whatever you say, then again, go back to what Patrice said. Don't freak out.
I did want to make a special note that sometimes if you grew up in chaos, chaos can sometimes feel normal. And so that's where I think doing work, because making sure that that you're not accepting anything that is not safe for you emotionally, physically, in every way, making sure that you have safety within your relationship. Because sometimes if boundaries have been crossed, sometimes it can be harder to set up some of these boundaries. Mm-hmm. And so making sure that you have safety within the relationship, I think that's extremely important. And I think that should be everyone's non-negotiable. Somebody that I can be safe with. And now there are times, because safety is a feeling. So if I am feeling unsafe, and it's not because of this person, like this person isn't, but like it's because of some stuff within me, that's where therapy, I'm gonna work on that. But within this partnership, within this relationship, I think being able to find safety. What is your final tip for finding a healthy relationship?
My final tip is, I'm gonna go back to my original, is do a deep dive in you. Then, I know you said tip as in one. No, and then do a deep dive. And when I say deep dive, I don't mean go back and, for you, I do mean go in and find out who you are and what you desire. And we've talked about some things with that. Then look at the last couple relationships and find commonalities in them. Look at, and not to search the people, but to search you. How did you feel in it? And what were the things that caused you to be happy? And then when you enter in, don't separate yourself from people that you were in relationship with. Sometimes people will get into a relationship and then suddenly they'll go into hiding.
And like drop all their friends and everything.
Yeah, don't do that. Because your friends are in your life for a reason. So consider that. Look at those things.
My final tip is just some questions to consider talking about. And when you don't ask these questions date one.
No.
Like these are like date three or four. Just like, hey, so how was your last relationship? And what happened? And so what would you do different? You know, what do you do different? Because if the person is like, oh, the other person was this, the other person was that, the other person, and they're not saying anything about them, there's nothing they could do different. There was nothing they did wrong in that relationship. 9 times out of 10, you might be a lot like that person that they just left, because sometimes people have types and it's like it's a whole odd thing. And so making sure that you are feeling comfortable enough to ask some of those questions. I think that is really important. Now there are people that just casually date. This is not if you're just casually dating, no problem. This is more for if you are looking to intentionally like work towards some type of partnership. Somebody that's going to be in your life and play a pretty significant role. I think being able to feel comfortable enough to ask certain questions. Gottman has some great questions. I really like some of the research that comes out of, I think it's Daniel Gottman. I could be wrong. But that's the, I think that can be really helpful. And then there are some other people that I like too. If you have questions, please ask over on the YouTube page. You can also hop over to our TikToks or Instagram if you ever have questions on any of these topics. Thank you so much for joining us. We really hope that this added value to your day, and we hope you have a good rest of your week.